Good morning. It's 14th of August. The New Testament reading today is Mark chapter 9. Once again, I'm reading to you from Brother Lou Sargent, the Gospel of the Son of God. I read, "The suffering of the Messiah might be a new aspect of his work for the disciples, but it was the road to his glory and not the negation of it. All the way through these sayings," that is, the sayings in chapter 8, "the Christ, the Son of Man, is at the centre. Because he must die, he is all the greater and not less great, all the more central to God's purpose and of the reality of his kingdom and the glory." Some of the disciples were to receive visible proof of that glory within a few days. With solemn assurance, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste of death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." That prophecy was to be fulfilled when, 6 days later, a period which Mark defines with unusual precision, the privileged three were with their Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was said that Jesus, with the disciples, went out from Bethsaida, a formula with which Mark carefully indicates departure for a new scene of activity. And now their journeyings had brought them to Hermon. When Jesus selected Peter, James and John and led them up into an high mountain where they were entirely alone, it was doubtless on one of the peaks of this range. They had gone up for the call of the disciples into a Mount of Covenant. Now they were to come to a Mount of Revelation. Both were aspects of Sinai of old, now finding their fulfilment in the Son of God. Before the eyes of the chosen three, Jesus was transformed. The Authorized Version and others have followed the Latin of the Vulgate in saying that he was transfigured. But what he underwent was more than a change of figure, it was a change of form. And form can carry with it an idea of essential nature, in contrast to the outward fashion or appearance. To anglicise the original, he experienced a metamorphosis. Matthew, more explicitly than Mark, shows both its nature and its meaning by a lyrical parallelism. "His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Matthew alone mentions the face, shining with a glory more intense than that of Moses when he came down from his meeting with God. But Christ's glory was not reflected, it was inherent. Nor is this the only echo in Matthew's words. He is thinking too of Daniel's description of those sleepers in the dust who shall rise to everlasting life. Mark has his own way of indicating that this glory did not come from the kingdom of men. In what seems a homely comparison, he says that Jesus' garments became glistering, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. If not from earth, whence did it come? A glory that is beyond the power of earth is heavenly. Thus was the power of the kingdom seen in its king, as the first of all the righteous who shall shine, first in time and first in eminence. The manifestation of that glory was no mere appearance. In one moment's transformation, Jesus had a foretaste of that state of life which was to be his beyond the cross. And the three, who were eyewitnesses, saw the kingdom of God come with power. From the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus deliberately turns towards Jerusalem and the cross, and Mark's narrative shows his course as a progress along the way. It is our privilege to travel with him as disciples along that way. Thank you for listening to me.